Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show. You're listening to the best of the Michael Medved Show.
Any place where you believe that I am wrong, whether it has to do with racial issues or economic issues or political tactics issues or issues of foreign policy, anything that we've discussed on this radio show, including issues of pop culture, where you want to take me on, today's your day, 1-800-955-1776. Here is a disagreeing email that came in, and I wanted to make this clear. It came in from Yolanda in Canyon Lake, Texas. And she says, Mr. Medved, I listen to your show every day, and I do not disagree with anything you have to say, but you made a statement I do not understand. You were discussing marriage, and you commented on childless couples. Your exact words were, good luck with that. What did you mean by that? I've been married 21 years and chose not to have children. Am I any less a woman? Is my marriage meaningless to you because we do not have children? Please explain what you meant by that comment. What I meant with good luck with that was I was thinking of some of the childless couples that I know who in some cases have been married longer than you have, Yolanda, more than 20 years. And unexpectedly, they were able, sometimes with medical means and sometimes, you could say, through prayer or other means, they were able to conceive. Most childless couples, not all, but most childless couples do want to have children. No, Yolanda, I don't think you're any less of a woman because you've chosen not to have children. And no, I don't think your marriage is meaningless. Your marriage, I hope and I assume, is deeply meaningful. What I don't think is that your marriage is as consequential, as influential, as impactful on society as a marriage. For instance, I have a very good friend who has 10 kids. That's had a big impact on society. I think there are about 40 grandchildren there so far. That's a big impact on society. And yes, I do view children as a blessing. It is Disagreement Day on the Medved Show. Let's go directly to Michael in La Jolla, California. You're on the Michael Medved Show.
I wanted to just weigh in on your idea about privacy not being in the Constitution. I've heard you say something to that effect. Is that correct?
Yes, correct. If the word is never mentioned, there is no right to privacy in the Constitution.
Well, I would disagree with you. I think that you're looking at the Constitution as if it were a telescope and you're looking through the wrong end. The Constitution is designed to limit the authority and power of the federal government. It's not designed to enumerate all the specific laws to which we are granted.
Wait. What are you saying? First of all, you're wrong historically. The Constitution was designed to set up a mechanism of government, but yes, a mechanism with specifically limited government power.
Correct.
Okay, so where is there a right to privacy?
That's the whole point, is they didn't have time or energy or interest, frankly, in enumerating all the specific rights to which one individual is entitled. They wrote the first 10 amendments to, list some specific ones to say, all right, you can't touch our guns, you can't touch our right to free speech, etc. But the 9th and 10th said, look, anything that we have left off this list, you also have a right to do, but we're just not going to write them all down for you.
You have rights to do all kinds of things, but a right to privacy is the claim of an affirmative right. This was the product of a famous case called Griswold versus Connecticut, and it was a 1965 case, and the right to privacy was constructed out of whole cloth, which was supposed to be an emanation of a penumbra of the Constitution. And if you know what an emanation of a penumbra means, it means something that emits or has suddenly sprung up out of a shadow. And the problem with that is that if Congress wanted to create, if our founding fathers wanted to create a right to privacy, they would have said so. And they didn't. Let's go to Kevin in Salt Lake City. Kevin, you're on the Medved Show.
I'd like to know your alternative to Obamacare. I've listened carefully over the many months I've listened to your show with my partner as we work, and I've heard you comment on Obamacare vociferously, but I've never heard you talk about an alternative. What would you do?
Well, I think we've talked about a number of alternatives.
Maybe I just didn't hear them.
Sure. The most important alternative has to involve greater freedom of choice. And the greater freedom of choice means, for instance, purchasing insurance across state lines, being able to devise your own insurance policy for yourself, and also making sure that we do have a safety net for people who cannot afford medical care. The best possible alternative would be, we were moving in the right direction under the Bush administration, is a combination of very high deductible insurance. In other words, we should have catastrophic health care insurance. Everybody should have that. But in terms of paying for your regular doctor bills, regular checkups, things like that, there's no reason you have to have insurance doing that. And if you are young and in good health, we could bring down the cost of insurance hugely and get more people to participate by providing less restriction on the kind of insurance that is offered, not more, which is the whole approach of Obamacare. The other thing, of course, that would bring down the cost of medicine hugely would be reforming malpractice, getting rid of the legal costs of medical care that have contributed so greatly to its inflation. Joe in Long Beach, California, you're on the Michael Medved Show. Hello, Joe.
Michael, I disagree when you say that if the minimum wage is raised that poor, unskilled people will lose their job. You know, labor is a commodity, much like hamburger or buns or lettuce. I mean, employers, business owners will make an adjustment by charging more.
It depends. You're correct. They will make an adjustment by charging more. But frankly, if you raise double the minimum wage, which is what was being called for in the demonstrations, there are a ton of places, thousands, that will go out of business.
Nobody believes that the minimum wage is going to go to $15 an hour.
Well, that's what people are demonstrating for.
Well, it's the opening salvo in a negotiating position.
But who are you negotiating with? You're not negotiating with your employer. You're trying to negotiate with the government and having the government impose costs on somebody else.
Well, that's true, but you need to be able to get enough votes. Well, eventually there would be a compromise.
Now, okay, help me with this for just a moment.
Yes.
Okay, so let's say you don't raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. You raise it to what? What do you think the minimum wage should be, Joe?
Well, if it's $7.25 an hour, if you took it to $9.50, I think that it's not outrageous by any stretch of the imagination.
Okay, it depends on where. Right now, the minimum wage is almost that. It's close to that in a bunch of different states across the country. But if you all of a sudden, in places where the minimum wage is $7.50 an hour, if you raise it to $9.50 and you do it in one step, there are lots of people who are going to be terminated, or they're going to go part-time, or they're going to be fewer hours. Because one of the things, Joe, especially for small businesses, the profit margins aren't that big.
That is true, but they still are making, they're doing very well. Now, Michael,
not all businesses are. And you see, the point is that if you raise the minimum wage, it is such a blunt instrument. It's such a crushing thing. What it means that every business, the businesses that are struggling, that are already operating at a loss, they have to raise the minimum wage. And the businesses that are making tons of money, they have to raise the minimum wage.
Each and every time that you get on the air, it's just nothing but bash, bash, bash.
The Michael Medved Show.
This is Michael Medved at MichaelMedved.com for Town Hall. An important new study from the American Medical Association makes the point that children hurt their school performance not by the total hours they spend on screen time, but by the kind of screens they choose to watch. In the journal JAMA Pediatrics, the authors summarize 58 studies published in recent years. Their conclusions show that time spent watching TV or playing video games is just as destructive as experts have long maintained, particularly damaging children's achievement. achievement during their teenage years. But other sorts of screen time, like social media on smartphones or surfing the web, prove far less destructive because they're less passive, more communicative. In an era when parents sometimes spend thousands on tutors and test preparation courses to boost a child's academic prospects, they could produce better results by strictly, consistently limiting time gawking at the tube or lost in the fantasy world of video games. I'm Michael Medved.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. For a limited time, you can get a queen-size premium MyPillow for the lowest price ever. Regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. You can adjust MyPillow's patented fill so you have the exact support you need regardless of your sleep position. It comes with a 10-year warranty. It's washable and dryable so it stays healthy, and it's 100% made in the USA. I'm also going to give you deep discounts on all my MyPillow products, including my Giza Dream bed sheets, my mattress toppers, bath towels, and so much more. That's $29.98 for a queen-size premium MyPillow, the lowest price ever, and deep discounts on all my MyPillow products.
Call 800-320-6280 or MyPillow.com, promo code MEDVET. That's 800-320-6280. Use the promo code MEDVET for these great radio specials. Small investors shamed Wall Street by running the price of certain stocks way up to the detriment of big hedge funds, social media, and trading platforms, then kept investors from buying stock. A financial war is being waged in America. With all this volatility, now's an even better time to protect your net worth and own precious metals as part of your portfolio. Nick Rovich, who's the owner of Amfed Coin and Bullion, has always been fair and honest with my precious metals holdings, and now, more than ever, it's a good time to own tangible assets like gold, silver, and platinum. Amfed can show you smart choices, which have been proven winners time and time again. Call Nick and his team at Amfed today, 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694, or visit AmericanFederal.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
You're listening to the Michael Medved Show. We're speaking to Neil Pollack, who is not only a writer, but a rock star. His band, The Neil Pollack Invasion, has done a couple of albums, and he's done a little bit of everything. but he did a lot of marijuana, but no more. He was the author of a powerful piece about kicking the marijuana habit. Two quick questions, and then we'll get on to our calls, Neil.
Yeah.
Question number one is, you wrote so beautifully about what marijuana meant to you and how important it was to you. It's obviously an empty place in your life where you no longer smoke and haven't for a year, almost a year. And have you filled up that empty place with something else?
Well, you know, I'm doing pretty much the same stuff I was doing when I was high. You know, I go into the movies, I'm watching TV, I'm hanging out with my family, reading books, doing yoga, exercising, walking my dog. Yeah, I'm just doing it sober. And in some ways it makes things a little more boring in some ways, and in other ways it makes things a lot better because I'm able to be a more sort of more attentive friend.
So you haven't replaced the marijuana with some other stimulant or relaxant or
I wouldn't say that. I had a period after I quit weed where I was playing a lot of poker.
That's also addictive.
Yeah. And I built a little bankroll and then I lost the bankroll. Then I was playing for free and then I had to back off of that because that kind of became all consuming as well. I mean, I had this big slide in 2017 because my mother died very suddenly and I watched it happen and it was very traumatic. And so the following 9 months were just I dealt with it very poorly. I did a lot of drugs and I did a lot of gambling and it just was not good. And so, but once I sort of moved the poker into the background, then I'd say that I've replaced it with, I filled it up with books and movies and music and other, as they say in the 12-step program, outer circle activities, things that are fun and healthy that don't have to do with your addiction.
All right. And you have is your son Elijah, he's still 14?
He's almost 16.
Actually. He's almost 16. Okay, because you've got to freshen up your website. There, one thing about your website, it says that toward the very end, it says, Pollock loves cheese, marijuana, Boston Terriers, the Los Angeles Dodgers, classic cinema, and you.
All that is true, although I'm not doing the marijuana anymore. I know I need to freshen it up. I don't have, I got to contact the guy who was doing that for me. I'm not self-promotion. I'm good at it in some ways, not so good at it in others.
Let's go to Robert in Naples, Florida. Robert, you're on the Michael Medved Show with Neil Pollack.
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, my dad used to say it's a poor carpenter who blames his tool. But I have been through it with a lot of friends, different kinds of addictions, alcohol, sex, food, whatever the case was. And the basic with them and what they told us and Al-Anon is it's a personality. You have a personality disorder where you need something to make yourself strong when in retrospect you were strong all along and you didn't need to do that. So I don't think it's just the marijuana, it's a personality issue.
Neil?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about addiction, right? It's like it emerges as a response to some sort of trauma, which create character flaws, and then you try to fill those gaps with whatever the addictive substance is. And he mentioned a whole list of them, alcohol, drugs, gambling, sex, eating, shopping. The list goes on and on. So, yeah, I mean, that's an absolutely accurate statement, and I don't think anyone who's ever suffered from addiction would disagree with that.
Let's go to Steve in Louisville, Kentucky. Steve, you're on the MedVed Show with Neil Pollack.
Yeah, Michael, thanks for having me on. So, Neil, just listening to you talk, it seems like we live a very mirrored life just in different places. I kind of wonder how many people are out there like us. Certainly the years of consumption of marijuana I can talk to the, what has it affected? You mentioned it seemed like you were a little conflicted as to, did it help your life or hinder your life? For me, I didn't have a void that I was trying to fill with marijuana. We just kind of stumbled across each other. But certainly the creative aspect, I may be a little bit more on the artistic side, the visual side. But I feel that it's certainly a struggle, and my main question to you was, or for the show was, what finally made you quit?
Yeah, that's a good question. And to address the thing you were saying, is like, it just, marijuana is kind of creeps up on you, right? It's not like, you know, heroin, where you're obviously, you get addicted very fast. You can use it for a number of years at sort of a low level, and then it just gradually increases. As for me, my moment of clarity came, ironically enough, now that the Dodgers are back in the World Series, it actually came at the World Series. I went to Los Angeles because I'd always dreamed of going to a World Series game, even though I didn't really have the resources to do it. And I bought a ticket off of some fraudulent third-party website. Before I did that, I managed to get as high as I possibly could, even though, you know, there's no reason why you need to get high and go to the World Series, but I needed to get high to do everything, and that was a special occasion. So I got really high, smoking this huge joint that had all this crystallized THC all over it, and then I'm smoking weed with a stranger in his house in Echo Park. I went to the stadium, bombed out of my mind, and the ticket didn't scan. It was like I said, it was fraudulent. And rather than deal with the situation rationally, I started screaming at people, and I almost got arrested. I got escorted out of the stadium by security guards. I was in the parking lot sobbing, and I just kind of took a look at myself in the side view mirror of a car, and I just saw this, you know, old man with red rimmed eyes crying over a baseball game. And I thought to myself, this isn't good. So I can't go on like this. And so I didn't quit that day, but 3 weeks later, I kind of sunk in, and I took my last puff. And
can you be around other people who were getting high using,
yeah,
or would you go into the other room?
No, I can. I was at a music festival, and I live in Austin, Texas, and I was at the Austin City Limits Festival a couple weeks ago, and I was hanging out with friends who were smoking joints and puffing off vape pens. I had a poker night I was going to where everyone would just pass a joint around the table, and I was the only one there who wasn't stoned. I still lost, mind you.
Well, I wish you better luck with poker. You've obviously had better luck with your life. That's Neil Pollack. We've posted his information on our website.
1-800-955-1776. The Michael Medved Show.
Now it's time for Medved's Entertainment Minute.
Lawrence Fishburne and Milo Gibson, son of Mel Gibson, co-star in the true story of an underdog football team in Texas. It's called Under the Stadium Lights. In theaters and available for rent on various streaming platforms.
Here in Abilene, these young men experienced so much adversity. They made a choice not to be a product of their environment, but to be productive because of their environment.
This is a sincere, occasionally affecting film based on the memoir of the one-time chaplain of this team of destiny, the Abilene Eagles. The young but little-known cast is appealing but often amateurish, while overacting its way through hackneyed material that often seems borrowed from much better films. The uplifting qualities, with emphasis on the team's biblical slogan about being your brother's keeper, make this PG-13 narrative admirable if not impressive. Two stars for the well-meaning Under the Stadium Lights.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
USA Radio News. I'm Brad Bernards. Senior Democrat leaders issued a unified statement Thursday denouncing comments made by Minnesota Democrat Representative Ilhan Omar when she compared U.S. and Israel's war crimes to actions by the Taliban and Hamas.
Omar issued a statement Thursday clarifying her comments after she was met with a flood of criticism from members of her own party. On the heels of the release of Anthony Fauci's emails from early on in the pandemic, Senators Marsha Blackburn, Marco Rubio, and Tom Cotton have demanded that Fauci resign or be fired. Republican Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas on Fox.
Well, I'm reflecting what I heard from so many people across the state of Arkansas last week. They've lost confidence in Tony Fauci because of his repeated evasions and misdirection and politicized advice.
This is USA Radio News.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
You're listening to the best of the Michael Medved Show.
One of the disagreeing emails that came in that I think is impressive and interesting came from Cherie in Arizona. And she says, as an African-American woman, I am insulted that the Republican Party thinks it can simply win over minorities by a clever rebranding. You and similar others in media and politics engage in revisionist history and simply attempt to mislead others about the role of your narrow-minded Republican Party. Yes, Lincoln signed the Emancipation. However, it was not out of any sense of humanity for enslaved people. It was done to win the war. The Democratic Party, however, has many heroes, such as Robert Kennedy, John F. Kennedy, who federalized the troops to enable blacks to go to school. Actually, it wasn't John F. Kennedy, it was Eisenhower. When it came to desegregating Little Rock, Central High School in Little Rock, that was President Eisenhower, a Republican president, enforcing the rulings of a Republican judge named Earl Warren. We go on. You want to blacks to vote for you on one day while simultaneously voting to eliminate jobs, programs, cut funding for programs on the other hand. You want blacks to vote for your party, but on your terms only. See, what I resist is this notion that good policies are good for one group or another. We really do all rise or fall together in this country. And it's not just black people, for instance, who benefited by the triumphs of the civil rights movement. And those triumphs, by the way, yes, most of them were achieved by liberals, and Dr. Martin Luther King was a liberal, even though his father was a Republican. But the truth is, it benefited everybody. My life and my family's life is vastly better because we no longer live in a country that practices American apartheid. Yeah, that is a great improvement for everyone. and the improvements of Ronald Reagan turning this country around, giving a new sense of confidence and rejuvenating the economy and defeating the evil empire, that didn't just benefit white people. It benefited everyone. This notion that you have to judge politicians based on their specific promises to your little interest group, that's part of what's wrong with American politics. Chris, in Greenville, South Carolina, you're on the MedVed Show. It's D-Day, Disagreement Day.
Hi, Mike. I guess my basic disagreement, if you would call it a disagreement, is with the notion that Republicans are offering African Americans a policy or package that is somehow going to appeal to them. And I think the interesting thing that I've always seen is that African Americans primarily are conservative people. I mean, we agree with Republicans on same-sex marriage, on abortion. We're generally fiscally conservative. I think the area that the Republican Party is amiss is just on a general conversation about race. And I think that oftentimes the Republicans' sort of underlying message there is offensive to African American people. And I think
What part of the message do you think is offensive?
What I'm saying is that oftentimes Republican people, or people that are just conservative, address the question of race as though it has no bearing on the conversation at all.
Chris, can I say something back to you, and then I'll let you continue and make your point, okay?
Absolutely.
I think that part of what you may be perceiving is part of something that I feel myself, is I do groan, and sometimes I groan publicly and complain, when people on the left say we need to talk about race more. I do believe, I know racism exists. It's a factor in American life. It always has been from the beginning of the country. It's as Condoleezza Rice says, it was America's birth defect. And I think that's true. However, I believe that the constant conversation about race and emphasis on race, it's like if you're having a problem in your relationship with your wife, you want to address it directly, but not every 2 minutes. It really is a certain amount of scab picking. And I think that's what a lot of conservatives feel.
So I wouldn't disagree with you on that. I think what I'm saying is that when you talk about policies, particularly when you're talking about policies that relates to African Americans, Latino communities, there is an underlying current of our perceptions of race. That underlying current is a conversation in itself, whether we directly talk about it or not. And I think the problem for the Republicans is that oftentimes that underlying current, we're talking about apples, meaning African Americans, and you're talking about oranges, largely. I'm not saying that's always the case. And I don't know if there's, you know, you can go and talk at Howard University and talk at every historically black college and university in the country. And I think until you come to a basic fundamental point to be able to have a dialogue about just basic grassroots issues, I just think you're not really going to win over the African-American vote.
I think you're entirely correct. And here is the basic point, and this really is pretty amazing. We have to show up and we have to compete. And one of the things, very, very smart old politician in New Haven, Connecticut, years ago, well, old Ward Heeler kind of politician, said, you never get votes unless you ask for them. And it's the same way people say, I'm a salesman. You've got to close the sale. You've got to ask for it. Can I have your order today? Will you buy? That, I think, is something that Republicans have really only begun focusing on. I appreciate your call. Very much. David, Raleigh, North Carolina, you're on the MedVed Show.
Look, you said something earlier this week, and you've said it several times before, and I'm going to try to walk you through it so you can understand why you're wrong. You claim that Obama was the first president to have a $1 trillion budget deficit. And the first year we had a $1 trillion budget deficit was 2009. Now, when did the fiscal year for 2009 commence?
The fiscal year 2009 commenced in September of 2008.
And who was president in September of 2008?
President Bush was president then. Who spent the money?
Well, the money was already budgeted. That's the whole point. It's not only the fact that he was the president at the time that the year began. He budgeted all the money for the year.
He didn't budget all the money. Do you remember something called the stimulus, which was literally the first thing Barack Obama did when he walked through the door of the White House? How much was the stimulus?
Yeah, it was $700 billion, but it wasn't all spent in 2009.
Correct, but hundreds of billions of dollars of it were.
Michael,
It was all spent in 2009, 2010.
Right, Michael. Bush's budget for 2009 proposed $3.1 trillion in spending. For the year 2009, we brought in $2.1 trillion. That's the $1 trillion already baked into the cake.
This is unbelievable to me. Why is it that you are still trying to blame Barack Obama's fiscal failures on George Walker Bush? There is no question that in 2009 we had a disastrous year. And does Bush deserve some of the blame for that? Of course. But Barack Obama was president, and he was making the decisions. And he presided over the recovery began officially when, David? You know.
2009.
In June of 2009.
Right.
That's right. Who was president for the next 6 months after the recovery began?
Barack Obama.
Right. So who's responsible for the recovery if it kicked in June of 2009? So let's see, Barack Obama was only president for 5 months. Before 4 months, before the recovery began. I mean, this is a stupid game. Bush was a failure when it came to spending and fiscal management. But it was not a failure anywhere near the scale of Barack Obama. If you take a look at year after year after year, consistent runaway spending.
You're listening to The Michael Medved Show. You're listening to the best of the Michael Medved Show.
This is Michael Medved at michaelmedved.com for Town Hall. Yes, America is dealing with a toxic legacy of racism, but it's destructive to frame all problems in racial terms. For instance, a panelist for Project Homeless of the Seattle Times boldly declared, "To be blunt, there is no homelessness in America without racism. It simply wouldn't exist." Now, this is frankly insane. All studies of homelessness show more white people living on the streets than blacks or Hispanics. Statistics prove African Americans are 72 times more likely to own their own homes than to count as homeless. Moreover, is racism the sole cause for mental illness and substance abuse, which are the chief drivers of the homeless explosion, especially for the white plurality among the homeless? The idea that the thousands of street people who challenge health and safety in every big city would magically find homes if it weren't for racism is so illogical it detracts from any serious efforts to cope with the problem. I'm Michael Medved. Even for Americans who've been successful in dodging the coronavirus so far, there's still a problem of pain. There are 100 million Americans who suffer from ongoing pain due to overexertion or exercise or just aging or the effects of everyday living, and Relief Factor can help. It helps exercise-related pain or general muscle aches and pains, and it certainly does for me. There are four key ingredients. Each one approaches the body's natural anti-inflammatory response function from different metabolic pathways. The 3-week quick start can show you how it works. It's just $19.95, 95 cents a day, less than a cup of coffee a day, much less for pain relief. Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands, and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain. The whole world to gain. As the nation pivots from the Trump administration to the reality of the Biden administration, Americans seem divided as never before. What does our country even believe in common anymore? One organization that continues to stand for what America has always believed is the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College. This institute stands for the first things, the permanent things, for religious liberty, for freedom of conscience, for family, for limited government, for free markets, for our nation's Judeo-Christian heritage. Go to the website faithandfreedom.com and you will see insightful, bold opinion pieces from the renowned faculty at Grove City College in Pennsylvania. See Mark Hendrickson's latest on GameStop, Wall Street, and the hedge fund managers. See John Sparks and former Deputy Attorney General Paul McNulty on impeachment. And take a look at our friend Paul Kanger's articles and speeches. There are lots of them. You can find all this and much more at the website of the Institute for Faith and Freedom. That's faithandfreedom.com. Again, faithandfreedom.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing, we just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Wishing everybody a spectacular, satisfying, joyous edge of summer weekend. For us, we're going to be spending our Sabbath with our New York daughter in the Heights, in Washington Heights. That is actually the subject of one of the big new movies this weekend from Hollywood. Before there was Hamilton, Lin-Manuel Miranda was working on a project at Wesleyan College when he was still a student. And that eventually grew into the Tony Award-winning musical In the Heights. It's about a neighborhood at the northern tip of Manhattan near the George Washington Bridge, which has become a vibrant scene for Caribbean American, Puerto Rican, and Dominican culture. The successful musical and the new movie, it's called In the Heights.
The story of a block that was disappearing. In a barrio called Washington Heights. The streets were made of music. I was saving up all my pennies in my piggy bank this day.
This is going to be an emotional roller coaster. The odds are against you.
But there's a chance, right?
Just the little details that tell the world we are not invisible.
Ignore anyone who doubts.
Okay, this is actually an absolutely smash-out wonderful movie. And partially because it adopts the musical, the Broadway musical, very effectively, with spectacular choreography and an array of wonderful young actors led by Anthony Ramos, who plays Usnavi, who's the main character around whom the action rotates. And it's about people trying to find their way, building relationships, and dancing up a storm. I don't know that I can remember better choreography in a film. The entire thing has been put together with a great deal of love and an incomparable level of energy by James Chu, who's best noted for having previously directed Crazy Rich Asians, which also had its fair number of musical refreshments as part of the action. This will make a star of Anthony Ramos, who was previously in the cast of Hamilton. And you can also look out for Lin-Manuel Miranda himself in a minor role. He's not immediately recognizable, but stay through the credits. Every part of this film is satisfying. It's rated PG-13 for a few adult references, but really it will be a great deal of infectious fun for very broad audiences, opening up in theaters around the country. In the Heights, 4 stars. Surely one of the best movies of the year. Now, that also brings up another film that is based on previous releases. This one is the third film in the Conjuring series. And this is about the real-life adventures of paranormal investigators Ed and Lorraine Warren, played by Vera Farmiga and Patrick Wilson. In this particular The Conjuring movie, The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It, they are get involved in a murder case in which the suspect tries to get off pleading not guilty by reason of demonic possession.
The court accepts the existence of God every time a witness swears to tell the truth. I think it's about time they accept the existence of the devil.
Whatever is going on, whatever happened that day, that was not Ernie.
It's a witch's totem. We think your family was cursed. And that connection is still open.
The Master Satan is not an adversary to be taken lightly.
Okay, the movie's not to be taken lightly. It opens with a truly terrifying sequence involving demonic possession and an attempted exorcism of an 8-year-old boy. It's wonderfully done. But from there, it wanders and meanders and gets lost in a welter of details that are never fully understood or explained at all. Both Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga are good, as they always are in these films. But unlike the previous two The Conjuring films, you can't figure it out or what is supposed to be going on. Though they do have some footage and some audio of some of the real-life events that are dramatized that appears at the very end of the film in the credit sequences. It's rated R, of course, for some truly ghastly scenes of demonic activity. But unlike the previous The Conjuring films, this The Devil Made Me Do It gets only 2 stars. You'll be scratching your head about some of the details long after you see the movie. One film that it's easy to figure out, but does provide a series of likable characters, stars the great Ellen Burstyn, playing an aging widow who is reluctantly persuaded by her daughter and her grandson to enter a senior living facility. But that facility is dominated by a collection of tough customers. Listen.
Saving seats, clicks. They're like mean girls, but with medical alert bracelets.
This table is by invitation only.
Are you serious?
She used to say serious as a heart attack, but then Marjorie killed over, so she don't say it anymore.
This isn't high school.
It's worse. High school, we graduate. Here, we die.
Okay, there are some moments of humor and tenderness here, and certainly you can admire the cast, all of whom are 80-something. Ellen Burstyn is 88, and she's amazing in the film. The group of other queen bees, and the bees doesn't stand for the buzz-buzz variety, it stands for the B-word variety. Loretta Devine, Jane Curtin of Saturday Night Live, she's the youngest member of the cast in her 70s. And Anne Margaret and James Caan, who's 81, is also in the cast, providing some romantic interest for the ladies, as is Christopher Lloyd in a surprisingly touching part. Look, the film has its moments, but you do feel ultimately like you're trapped in this facility with characters who end up being contrived, as do some of the surprises or alleged surprises in the plot. It's rated PG-13 because for people of this age group, there's an amazing number of smutty references, but no graphic scenes at all. The For Queen Bees, it, as I mentioned, rated PG-13, and it earns 2.5 stars. One of the things about the movie business and the state of the movie business right now, the Conjuring movie has, largely, I think, because the theaters are now opening up, has actually done very well in theatrical performance, and they're expecting that In the Heights will open with more than a $20 million opening, and certainly deserves it. And that will certainly also provide people with some ability to look forward to West Side Story, which is the other big new movie that is supposed to be arriving before the end of this year. And for people who love movie musicals, that's a nice return to something like normal life and the aspects of normal life to be savored. On Monday, we're going to be broadcasting and covering some of the very latest developments. And there's a great deal to figure out. One of the things to figure out, it seems to me, is why it is, basically, that some people are utterly determined to avoid getting vaccines, at the same time that things are getting better, obviously, in terms of the number of people getting sick and getting hospitalized and dying from COVID-19. Well, is that because people are feeling that, well, I'm less threatened by COVID-19 than before and I don't need the vaccines? Why do you believe, if it's not the vaccines that are responsible for improving the situation, why do you believe that that's happening out there? That's one of the questions to be confronted. We will also be looking at some of the next week, some of the big new movies that are coming out for the summer, including a new film from Pixar that could be very deeply entertaining, as Pixar films truly are. We'll bring you the latest on Luca coming up on Monday. And then, of course, there is the question about President Biden's trip to Europe and his meeting with Putin. We will cover all of that and much more in a season maybe for celebration, as America gradually but inexorably, it seems to me, returns to normal. And normal's pretty good, worth cherishing in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. That's 800-633-1378.
Join me, George Norrie, for Contact in the Desert Worldwide Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to the 28th. Contact in the Desert will be an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, consciousness, AI, crop circles, and cutting-edge science. More than 130 presentations, 67 speakers, and 2 extra weeks to view our extraordinary lineup. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.